Please have a seat. Let's join together to pray. Let us pray. Loving God, your love was scorned and done to death. Faith was cheated, truth was falsified, and all the promise of life was eclipsed in the darkness of the grave. But today is your perfect day. The day when grief meets joy, when despair discovers the possibility of hope, and light breaks through our darkness. Today, Holy Spirit, is the day of new creation, when you bring love back in triumph from oblivion. This is the day, eternal God, that you create new glory out of chaos. And as your Son rises out of death's dark night, truth comes back to stay, and faith and hope are restored, and death is swallowed up in victory. Thanks be to God. Amen. We say together the Lord's Prayer. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, the power, and the glory, forever and ever. Amen. So Janine Goddard is going to read the scripture to us, and then Carol Clack is going to lead us in a reflection.
The reading is John chapter 20, verses 1-18. Early on Sunday morning, while it was still dark, Mary Magdalene went to the tomb and saw that the stone had been taken away from the entrance. She went running to Simon Peter and the other disciple whom Jesus loved and told them, "They have taken the Lord from the tomb, and we don't know where they have put him." Then Peter and the other disciple went to the tomb. The two of them were running, but the other disciple ran faster than Peter and reached the tomb first. He bent over and saw the linen wrappings, but he did not go in. Behind him came Simon Peter, and he went straight into the tomb. He saw the linen wrappings lying there and the cloth which had been round Jesus' head. It was not lying with the linen wrappings, but was rolled up by itself. Then the other disciple, who had reached the tomb first, also went in. He saw and believed. They still did not understand the scripture which said that he must rise from death. Then the disciples went back home. Mary stood crying outside the tomb. While she was still crying, she bent over and looked in the tomb and saw two angels there, dressed in white, sitting where the body of Jesus had been, one at the head and the other at the feet. "Woman, why are you crying?" they asked her. She answered, "They have taken my Lord away, and I do not know where they have put him." Then she turned round and saw Jesus standing there. But she didn't know it was Jesus. "Woman, why are you crying?" Jesus asked her. "Who is it that you are looking for?" She thought he was the gardener, so she said to him, "If you took him away, sir, tell me, please, where you have put him, and I will go and get him." Jesus said to her, "Mary." She turned towards him and said in Hebrew, "Rabboni," this means teacher. "Do not hold on to me," Jesus told her, "because I have not yet gone back up to the Father. But go to my brothers and tell them that I am returning to him who is my Father and their Father, my God and their God." So Mary Magdalene went and told the disciples that she had seen the Lord and related to them what he had told her. Amen.
Wow, Jesus has risen from the dead. He has defeated death. Jesus is alive. Today is the day we celebrate the resurrection from the dead of our Lord Jesus Christ. In his death and resurrection, Jesus has defeated evil. The curtain between heaven and earth has been torn, and a clear path has been made between heaven and earth, so that we can be in relationship with God and the promise of eternal life. Our faith is founded on the truth that Jesus died and rose again for our sins, so that we may have eternal life. The end of Jesus' story was that he died and was buried with no resurrection. What is there for us to hope in? But it is the fact that Jesus rose again which gives us hope and purpose. For God so loved the world so much that he gave his only Son, Jesus Christ, so that everyone who believes in him may not die but have eternal life. That's John 3, verse 16. Following Jesus is the beginning of a lifelong journey. As we learn and grow in our faith, we are challenged by the everyday ups and downs of life, our fears and anxieties for now and the future. And these influence us to greater or lesser degrees throughout life. Jesus died and rose again, conquering death and making it possible for us to live in the power of that victory. On our journey with God, we need to constantly remember to live in the life of the resurrection. We know that the tomb is open and empty, but do we still act as if it's not? Does fear mean that we act as if the stone is still there? The reality is that the stone is not there and the way is open. Face the fear and step into the empty tomb. It's not dark, the door's wide open. We can go in and we can come out. What's in the tomb? Grave clothes, one mindfully folded and left where Jesus' head lay, and the other left where they had fallen off. Do we walk around still wearing our grave clothes? Shame, guilt, hatred, unforgiveness, control, for example. We too can take off those grave clothes and leave them behind. In doing so, our lives can become brighter and more beautiful as God enters our lives and we become more like him. The final transformation coming when we too die and died and are raised again. Most of what I've just said, I spoke as I reflected once before on the death and resurrection and how our hope is based on the resurrection. That was in February, and I spoke on the Sunday. So that I know that the following afternoon I would be travelling to the bedside of my elderly mother, and that a few days later I would be with her as she died. Yes, there's sorrow and grief in that she is no longer physically with me, and there is a hole where she was, and I have to deal with the ups and downs of grieving and living in the new reality without her. But I know she moved on to a better place, that one day I shall too. The final chorus of an Ed Sheeran song called Supermarket Flowers goes like this. Hallelujah, you were an angel in the shape of my mum. You got to see the person I have become. And I know when God took you back, he said, hallelujah, you're home. Yes, our bodies will die, but that is not the end of the story. We too will be raised back to life to live with God in heaven. And when we have been there 10,000 years, shining bright as the sun, we will have no less time to praise our God. Our faith is based on the hope of eternal life, something to look forward to, not dread. Eternal life is our inheritance. Therefore, we have nothing to fear in death. And I, for one, find that amazing.
Let us pray. Loving God, most of us know what it is to weep that somebody has died. So we pray for those who on this day mourn somebody recently died, and their grief is raw and fresh, and their hope is thin. Be the faintest of glimmers of light to them. And there are others who wept many years ago, but still the pain of their bereavement every now and then cuts. Remind them of the truth of new life, your hope, your power. And all of us know what it is to be bereaved. For we have left things behind. We have left not knowing for knowing. We have left school, we have left jobs, we have left the nursery. And sometimes new life is too much for us. But where would we be without it? So we pray for those who harp back, who wish it was once upon a time, those who are stuck. We Christian people who know of the resurrection and the good news of Jesus, we pray for those who feel that life is hopeless and those who are in a grey cloud. Give them your light. We pray for those that we love who need your touch, Lord Jesus. And we offer our prayers in your name. Amen. So let's continue our worship as we make our offering. So let's pray. Gracious God, through the resurrection of Jesus, you have given immeasurable grace to us. May our offerings reflect the grace we have received and symbolize lives committed to the service of our risen Lord. Amen. We believe that we do not own this table. We believe it belongs to the Lord Jesus. And we believe that everybody is welcome here. Whether this is your first time with us or not, you are welcome. And the way it works is that the the elders will bring you the bread. When they bring you the loaf, would you rip off a bit? And then when you've had a moment, would you eat it? And then when it comes to the wine, when you get the glass, will you hold it? And then we will all drink together. And for those of us who have issues with wheat and gluten, there's provision for you in these wee fish. And for those of us who have issues with alcohol, the good news is there's no alcohol in this wine. He was the one who ate at unlikely tables. Bottles of wine in the park and bread broken with dirty hands. He was the one with unlikely people, the thief, the whore. So is there room for us? Respectable people with middle class sins? At dawn, when the world was asleep, they came, and we come too. They did not believe what they saw, the stone rolled back. And maybe we are too familiar with this place and this ritual. Help us to open our eyes to see. And may God be known to us in bread and wine. The Lord Jesus, in the face of death, at a meal with his disciples, took bread, broke it, and said, "This is my body, which is broken for you." And also the cup after supper, saying, "This cup is the new covenant in my blood. Do this as often as you drink it in remembrance of me. For as often you eat this bread and drink this cup, you proclaim the Lord's death until he comes." So we take bread, we take wine, and we give thanks. Let us pray. Astonishing God, the day has come when we thought had ended bursts into a new beginning. What we thought had been destroyed is created anew. When we thought had been lost in darkness, re-emerges in vibrant colour. And we come in thanksgiving for your everlasting love and justice, for Christ's healing, wholeness and forgiveness living deep within each of us by the power of the Spirit. We ask, challenging God, that our thanksgiving may be shown in our actions as your Spirit calls us to be Christ to the world. And may this bread be for us as the body of Christ and this wine as the blood of Christ. And may your Spirit be shown in these gifts and in us who will receive. All thanks to you, our God, and blessing and honour, glory and power belong to you. And we pray in the name of the one who was crucified and died, and who is mysteriously with us now in life, ever new. Amen. He took bread. He broke it and said, "This is my body. It is broken for you." He took wine. "This is my blood," he said. "It is shed for you." the body of Christ. join to pray. Risen Christ, as you stay with us, open our eyes to see the needs in our world. Open our ears to hear the cries of the poor, the suffering, the marginalized. And give us the courage and the tenacity to take our spoken prayers into serious action. And move us from security to take risks, just like Jesus. And as you want us now to journey with humankind, knowing that you, Spirit of God, will support us, reassure us, renew us, and recommit us to your service, where we will live lives that speak of justice and peace, and risen Christ. On this day, things will change because of you, because of us. Amen. Our final hymn, Christ is Alive. Did you get the invite for breakfast? Did you get that you're most welcome to stay for breakfast? I know some of you are busy, but if you're not, stay for breakfast. Let's sing. And did I tell you that there's a service at 11 o'clock? Well, there is. Anyway, here you go. Christ is Alive, let Christians sing. We join to sing. Power of God, which raised Jesus to new life, strengthen us in hope, enrich us with his love, and fill us with joy and faith. Thanks be to God. Amen.